This morning we were talking a little bit about Rus. First, I want to welcome Shua Ruth. Welcome on Shua Ruth. An honor. Shua, it's delightful. It's delightful that Shua is here with his daughter is like very, very powerful for me. Shua sat and learned here for 3 years as a bacher in the high school. Then he came back after Eretz Yisrael as a dorm counselor for another two and a half, three years. And then he learned in Kollel here for a year. And now he's sitting here at Musavad with his precious daughter, Molly. So just very, very moving. I spoke a lot about the word Mali in the weeks leading up from Pesach to Shavuos. We focused on Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva was Mali, which means Mali means good midos, midos tovus, and certainly we're happy to have Shua's Mali here. But really, really delightful to have Shua back home. So welcome home, Shua.
And Mali, right?
The Megillas Rus is really an incredible Megillah. And this morning I spoke about one aspect of Megillas Rus. It's possible tonight the community of Waterbury is gathering. I'm thinking about speaking about more about Rus. There's a figure in Megillas Rus that's one of the main people involved in Megillas Rus. Now understand that he was a big tzaddik. His name was Elimelech. Elimelech was a big, big tzaddik. Does anybody know who Elimelech's father was? You all know him. Who was Elimelech? One of the main people in Megillas Rus. I'm going to tell you the story briefly for those that don't know the story. But Elimelech, it ends up, Elimelech's wife was Naomi. Elimelech's daughter-in-law was Rus. So his daughter-in-law ends up bringing Mashiach. His daughter-in-law ends up being the great-grandmother of David HaMelech. Ultimately, the story from Elimelech's story comes Mashiach. It's very complex. Avi, I want you to focus. The story of Rus is complex. There's a lot to share. There's a lot to share with the guys. But the one who's the father-in-law of Rus was Elimelech. Elimelech was one of the tzaddikei hadar and one of the parnasei hadar. Chazal say that. It's not an exaggeration. I quote Rashi, Ashir gadol haya, Elimelech was very wealthy. Uparnes hadar. You know what it means that Chazal say he was the parnes hadar? He supported the generation. That's a deep, deep thing. It's not like a minor to be somebody. It doesn't just speak about how much money. You know what type of mission? That he's the Parnes Hadar. Chazal call him of the generation. He was the supporter of the generation. Chazal call him that. The Torah Kedoshah calls him that. It's not like an exaggeration, hyperbole. You say, oh, guy, such a gen. He was the Parnes Hadar. He was the main supporter of the generation. This wealthy person who was taking care of Klal Yisrael. It's wild. Sometimes you have in a local community, the parnes of the community. That's a big deal spiritually. This Yid was chosen by Hashem. He was the parnes hadar. He took care of the generation. He was very wealthy and supported the generation, Elimelech. Who was Elimelech's father? Nobody be afraid to say. Who was Elimelech's father? Who just said that? Jump in and don't be afraid to say. Rav Mendi Katz, how did you know that? Rav Mendi Katz said, Nachshon ben Aminadav, which is why I said jump in, because Nachshon ben Aminadav, who jumped into the yam and caused it to split, the first Yid who had the guts to jump in was Nachshon. Nachshon ben Aminadav, the great from Shevet, Yehuda, you guessed it. And Nachshon ben Aminadav's the one who jumped in to the water causing the Yamsuf to split. He was the... Obviously. So Nachshon ben Aminadav, his son was Elimelech. Elimelech was the Parnes Hadar. Huh? Whoa, it argues on me. Rev Deutsch, he has the Medrash there, says that Nachshon ben Aminadav was his Zed. So it's a machlokes kalish against Rav Deutsch. I what? I'm right.
He says he picks. No, he says he picks.
Is that right at the very beginning of the book?
I think it was his father. That's my humble opinion. Is that not opinion? I probably saw it a different book, but the way I saw it, I think as if like I researched this so strongly. But I thought he was his father. Azedas bnei banim harin kibanim. Chazal say grandchildren are like children, so we both could be right. But either way, he comes from Nachshon ben Aminadav, this Elimelech. Elimelech was the Parnes Hador, was the most generous person in the generation. Comes Chazal, and they say as follows, Ashir Gadol Haya, Elimelech was wealthy, you Parnes Hador, and he supported the generation. The Yatza Eretz Yisrael L'chutzlarts, and he left Eretz Yisrael Mipnei Tzara Sa'ayin for a stinginess. Shaisa Einav Tzara Be'inei Abayim L'doichkei. Aniyim were making him nuts. There was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, and he ran away from Eretz Yisrael because Aniyim were pressuring him, and he was a Tzar Ayin. He was stingy to the Aniyim. And he ran away from Naniyim, Lakach Nanash, and therefore he was punished. Now I am fascinated. You could be sure there's a lot of tzidkus. It looks like there's a certain rejection. He ends up dying. He leaves Eretz Yisrael and goes to the plains of Mayav. And Chazal teach us that he was a Tzar Ayin in Naniyim, and he was punished, and he lost his life. His two sons who did not return to Eretz Yisrael, Machlein and Kilyum and Niftar as well. So he paid a steep price for his sin. However, Klal Yisrael got Mashiach from his move. Because we picked up Rus, and ultimately she returns to Eretz Yisrael, gives birth, and eventually we get Yishai, eventually we get David HaMelech. So it's very interesting. When we see ke'ilu, like einish, punishment, rejection, everything is further opportunity to find Hashem. There's no place on earth that you can go, and this is a lot of the story of Kabbalah Satira, is where you go, there's an opportunity for Kiddush Shemayim. The sense he ran off the grid, and he's punished for where he went. But Mashiach comes from there. Even with human error, God is there. There's something so deep, because the story of Shavuos is the human possibility of being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. The story of Shavuos is the human possibility in every place he finds himself. In every aspect of life, that there one can find Hashem. It's so cool that he went to Mayav running away and Chazal criticized him. He was punished for it, and we got Mashiach from the move. There's something so dizzying about that. If it was so bad and so wrong to go there, why does Mashiach come about from that? And the point that wherever you go, wherever you are, so many people have a sense that because of yesterday's mistake, so I'm already lost today. And no, Mashiach will come from where you are, and maybe precisely because of yesterday's mistake. Naira, he ends up by Mayav because he ran away. It was an Avera. He punished and lost his life from it. And we got Mashiach from that move. Where you go, for whatever cheshbon you went, there you're shayach, now you're here, one can find Hashem. Now you're here, one can find Kiddush Shemayim. Now you're here, one has an opportunity to connect Hashem. You don't outrun, you don't move to a place and there, no. Where you go, there is the possibility he is. There's Kiddush Shemayim there waiting in every place. And in the very place he ran, running away, and was punished for running there, we found Mashiach there. Greatness was acquired there.
Amazing.
I wanna say, and this is a way of learning Torah that my Rebbe taught me to learn Torah. There are deep secrets that Elimelech runs there and is punished and is a tzar ayin. There's deep Torah here. But I have a right, and my Rebbe learns Torah this way as well, and I have a right to ask and to just analyze that what was his Avera? What was his Avera? If we would put ourselves in Elimelech's shoes, and it's Dvarim Pshutim, think about Elimelech for a minute. He's in a position, and he has zero Yishuv Hadas. Day and night, people are chepering him, bothering him. All day long, bothering him, overwhelming. The Lashon of Chazal is so instructive. Aniyim aboyim l'doichkei. Aniyim are pushing him around. Aboyim l'doichkei, d'chak. He's being like completely overrun by aniyim. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a famine. He's the Parnes Hador, and he's just, if you could feel him for a minute, he's completely overwhelmed with no Yishuv Hadas. And he makes a move that you actually could like hear. He says, this is not survivable. I can't serve like this. Let me go off. He's a tzaddik. I'll learn. I'll dive in. From there, I'll have space to breathe. And amazing that he's punished, that the Klal Yisrael needed him. Amazing that he's punished. You were needed. He went there, and it describes that he was habayim l'doichka. It's so interesting. It says, Ein av tzara ba'aniyim habayim l'doichka. Aniyim are overwhelming him, and of course he's like, okay, I can't function like this. I can't breathe. And he goes away, and he's an einish. Hashem wants him in this mission. It makes me just think how many people are put in tasks and in their own want for what they perceive, but serve Hashem in what He clearly asks you to do. People in coming up with their own sense of how they could do better for Hashem, but Hashem put you here and gave you this. And the story of Elimelech, the telling story of Elimelech, and a part of this story of running off to the plains of Mayav is Hashem put this on your plate, embrace it. This clearly was put on you. How many people have something put on their plate and look elsewhere, and it's just clear this is on your plate. This child was given to you, this spouse, this neighbor, this Talmud, this whatever it might be in your life. Be very careful for this energy of I could do serve better elsewhere. Many have fallen prey. I think this cautionary tale of Elimelech, I think it's very relevant to Kabbalah Satira, which is the story of serving Hashem from your station, from the situations given to you. That is the essence of Kabbalah Satira. That's the deepest. Kabbalah Satira was true before Har Sinai. The Avos had Shavuos. And Kabbalah Satir is that moment that you take your station and serve Hashem. And we read this story on Shavuos on our day of Kabbalah Satir. And it's important, each aspect. We spoke about Rus and her amidst her situation, her serving Hashem, sitting in the fields picking leket, and she's honest to the mitzvah. And the story starts with Elimelech, who has a station of service to Hashem and is punished for running away. He has a better plan. He has another place he could serve. Be careful. He went to a better station to serve Hashem because there I could do better. There it will be more comfortable. There it will be... Maybe you could find Hashem right here. Amidst this situation, amidst this, it's pressurizing. Who can imagine the drak, the terrible pressure Elimelech was under? But we're reading this on Shavuos. And the sin, the chet that we read on Shavuos, and Chazal called this a chet, that it was Einai Tzar Ba'aniyim. He didn't think graciously for Aniyim. This is your, I'm sure there were from a cheshbainus, not to be gracious to the Aniyim. A sense of I can't serve like this. Yet he was punished, Elimelech. Because there, precisely there, with all the pressures, the difficult situation, the hard to breathe, that's his, there he could be Mekadesh Shem Shemaim. Your station, your place. Just how many times we look for other stations and don't accept our station. We look for better pastures, better places, because we can envision other ways of serving Hashem other than we are Hashem clearly asked us to make a Kiddush Shemaim. I don't have an answer. Yosef asks intelligently. It's like, how do you know your station? He was accomplishing and he was needed. That's a good sign. That's an awfully good sign. But I could do better. I think it's a dangerous place to go. Many a child has been dropped in such, I could do better, but Hashem gave you this child. Many, many situations where people ran from their situations that they could serve Hashem in a beautiful way in their situations. There are stories of Gedolim. There are many stories of the Gadol who didn't run away from their situation, who embraced and engaged their situation. This, again, I have no right. Elimelech's a big tzaddik. Chazal call him a tzaddik. I am not in any way. We would meet Elimelech. It's easy when we talk things like I'm saying. I would meet him and I would turn to mush. We would all see Elimelech, a tzaddik, a tremendous tzaddik, who was zeichet to tremendous things to come from him. I'm only happing on Chazal. And Chazal say there was some sin. He was a Tzarayan. He wasn't there and beneficial to Klal Yisrael. I think all too often the story of growth and serving Hashem is people feeling I can be bigger and not thinking about Kfoid Malchusay. He was helping Klal Yisrael. So he felt I could be bigger. You were there for Klal Yisrael. That was your station. You were there for Klal Yisrael. Be there. Be where you were supposed to be. You were clearly filled a need, were wanted and needed. Be careful. Be careful. It's something I've thought about. I think most serious people in their own lives may have their own Elimelech moments where you say, maybe I shouldn't be running away. Maybe I'm running away from a station that Hashem wants me at. I think it's something to ponder. Like Yosef asked, sometimes we're not sure because we go to places, we move, we find things of accomplishment, and we have to ask ourselves, I'm not coming to create fears, I'm coming to create seeking of truth. And Elimelech clearly had the capacity to know, don't give up that station. And Chazal, the Torah Kedoshah, says he was punished for something. He had a station where he was needed, where he was wanted by Hashem to be, and he was accomplishing there. Be careful to give up your station. And often you'll come up with chaps, why it would be better, why Hashem would gain more elsewhere. But if you're needed there, he was needed, Elimelech. He was needed. There was an importance for him there. There's something to be said. He was needed there. Mechatesi, to leave it. You were needed there. Mechatesi. It needs. Now, it's a what I'm saying could be equally dangerous. I don't like guilt. I don't like so everybody who ever switches a job, a thing. It's chas v'shalom not to create an unhealthy guilt. It's to create healthy, honest thoughts of asking ourselves, perhaps Hashem wants me in this station. Where I'm feeling, what I'm feeling. Just many, many people have gone on to what they perceive greener pastures in all different ways. It's something to ponder. Shlema?
I think that like a common point I've heard from Rebbe is that people are doing big chesed, big Klal Yisrael, and they're running around, maybe they're lacking leadership with themselves or their family. And even I've heard many Rebbe and or Shiva say, like, if they're lacking with their family or something, close yeshiva, leave yeshiva. So it seems like always the most important, like your station is always like the more personal with yourself, your family. So what's the
Shlomo's asking? I love his question. It's so real. It's so authentic. Shlomo says, if you think Elimelech, he was listening to every shmooze, he's like, this doesn't work for my family. I picture the scene. It's like craziness. And he did what would be like such a logical decision. This doesn't work for my family. This doesn't work for my family. The question is strong. I don't think we can ignore this question. Now, there's big pneumias here. Everything has deep Kabbalistic and deep things going on. But nonetheless, we're led to learn something with the eyes of Pshat. And we learn a Chumash Rashi, and Rashi tells us, so Shlomo is like, says, can we even sympathize and empathize with Elimelech? This wasn't good for his family. Plain and simple. It was, and his first achrayis mi besar chal tesalim. We've heard many Rosh Yeshiva like say like Shlomo, if the second it's bad to my family, I shut it down. I'm not coming to create, to even give any system a figure. I don't know the answer. I know that if we supply a need, don't let go of it so easily. We spoke about Amascha b'mitzvah imlay gemar. If you start something, see it through. Don't easily let go of something that you're needed in. That's the cautionary tale. Your question, Shlomo, befuddles me. It's like when I read this story, it can actually make you cry. Because who can't relate to Elimelech? Who can't relate to things where you say, is this just, it can't be that I'm supposed to do this. I can't live like this. It's so powerful, the situation. Again, I'm not a guy like, I don't like guilt. It's not a place of like, say, anybody leaves anything. Guilty, you're being Elimelech. That's not, we have to think honestly, and maybe sometimes I could bring Chazal that the mitzvah is to leave something. The art of leaving something when you're supposed to. So I'm not, there are all different things in the Torah about people who left things who were supposed to leave. So I'm not, it's not to create a guilt to leave something was supposed to leave. This is not like, hey, my mind, I came today, we have dorm counselors, don't let them leave. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. Their time and places to leave. We've seen greats in our history leave things and leave places and really successfully leave. There's something that hits me, Shlomo, in the story of Rus. This is very interesting. Is yet you contrast Elimelech leaving and giving up and being punished to Rus, who actually leaves Maya, then comes to Eretz Yisrael and left. She's rewarded for leaving her station. And you would almost say, maybe Rus should take the lesson and not leave Mayav. You're needed there in Eretz Yisrael. You're a poor lady in Mayav. Be the frummy in Mayav. And her job, so I almost see contrast. I see Elimelech, who was supposed to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And I see Rus, who was supposed to leave where she is and go to Eretz Yisrael. So as much as I could bring from Elimelech, don't leave something you're carrying, as I could bring from Rus, is sometimes it's time to go to greener pastures. So I'm not creating like a guilt. That's not what I'm doing. I'm saying that one has to not so easily assume the situation they're in could have tremendous kvod shamayim there. That's all I'm trying to bring out with this. Again, the decisions, like I didn't change anything people would think. We have to think through what Hashem would want, what's right. Be careful not to drop what you have. Elimelech had a role and a purpose. Don't drop it so easily. You have a purpose, you have a place, don't drop it so easily. That's what I'm coming to say. The exact, their questions and pressures and other considerations, Chazal give a very harsh criticism of Elimelech for leaving. I wanted to share that with the Chevra. If I could ask Avi Berger to come forward to do an ode. Oh.
You kind of saying, like, you have to know your avoda, no? You have to, like, figure out your avoda. You're saying, well, there's no real way for us to find that out.
We sense. It's interesting, his name was Elimelech. His name in this story is Elimelech. The word Elimelech means for me kingship, which his very essence spoke about a person whose job was to take care of people. He's called Elimelech. So guys are asking, how do you know? We do have a sense of feeling mission, and his job was to feel, that was his job, to feel mission. I want to introduce the ode. We will get back. We're trying to prepare for Shavuos. In our preparation for Shavuos, what we're doing is odes. Why are we in the middle of Rus, going back to Kinyan Yatar, doing odes? The point, Klal Yisrael before Shavuos, a Tanai for Kabbalah Satorah is a great unity. the source of unity is appreciating people, appreciating, celebrating people. I felt before Shavuos, I wanted a lot of odes in this yeshiva. I felt like we're secure enough with ourselves to celebrate the next person. Avi Berger is somebody who has grown tremendously, very, very sophisticated and thorough in real ways. But not just he's grown, he's done it with a chabura. Chazal have a line, Hizdair mibnei chabura, be careful of a group, shemehem teitzei taira. Taira comes from a group. I have read the Archaim HaKadosh that Reb Nassim Tzvi Finkel told me to learn every single day, which I have not listened to, but I read it once a year to the yeshiva in Parashas Yisrei, and before Shavuos, I always say the Archaim HaKadosh. He says three conditions for Kabbalah Satayra. He says humility, one. Two, he says great effort, diligence in Torah study. And three, he says to have a chabura, to connect yourself to a group. Avi Berger is a kiyum of all three, the humility of all three, but specifically what I want to focus on is he's grown together with a group of friends, who in a beautiful way have encouraged each other and pushed each other and celebrated each other. So they've taken this Kenyan HaTorah seriously. Without further ado, I'd like to hear Avi say his ode to his friend.
Yeah. My throat's a little itchy, so I'm not going to be able to speak as loud. If everyone could just be quiet. Thank you. I had a pretty hard time writing this. I'm pretty good at writing poems and stuff like that. And I was doubting it a little bit before, like, if I don't have so much to say, why, like, am I even writing this for the right reasons? But I realized today, Moshe helped me, thankfully, I realized today that I just had way too much to say, and I could have written a way longer ode. To spare you guys, I only wrote one page. I've known this man since pre-1A. Back in Darche, we used to play. We've come so far from that old schoolyard. So many memories we have to share, busting our wrists on that old four stair. From walking over every Friday night to sitting next to each other on a really long flight. My original gym bro, in my heart, you'll always be. Your discipline is impressive, truly inspiring to me. And as big as your arms and legs may appear, most of your strength is kept up here. And while fighting your own battles, you always save time to make sure your friends never fall out of line. Making your room a place where all feel welcome and at home, your hospitality is always shown. Seriously though, this room is no joke. Just don't come in after 12 unless you want the smoke. One of the best dressed guys you'll see in the base, always walking in with Yossi with a smile on his face. You showed me the things I was scared of were nothing to fear, and I'm really glad we'll be together next year. One of my dearest friends, I'll always stand by him. That's why I decided to write this for Chaim.
We have another ode for today. Who else?
How you going?
Ari, come forward. Shalom will tell you. Excellent.
Short and sweet.
Physical strength is something he has pretty nice and all, but mental strength is where he really does ball. Tenacious, determined, and eyes set like a hawk. Nothing can stop him from munching when he's on a bulk. The best boarder, skater, flipper, gamer, and bodybuilder I know. Anything he attempts, he always becomes a pro. This meta of pushing again and again to obtain and achieve is a key to success and the trait we all need. I truly admire and look up to you, Simcha, and just want to share one thing about you that I definitely tried to learn from.
Yeah. there's I forgot to introduce Ari. Got up here, my mind is in different places to introduce Ari. There's a lot to say about the person. I want to get there. When I first met Ari, he told me something about himself that I've repeated before, but like intrigued me. He happens to be a sophisticated person. He's a very, very loyal person, close. Chevy, you talk about Avi growing with a chabura. Ari's chabura is one of the most important chaburas in the yeshiva, a group of guys that are loyal to each other and growing beautifully together. But I want to talk about something. When I met Ari, he told me he was into thrifting. And I had never heard of thrifting before. It was like a new expression. I never heard of it. And the art of thrifting is like finding, it's this habit and hobby. And I never heard of it. I want to be a thrifter the rest of my life. The art of thrifting is finding in like a store, in a surprising store, which others like almost can laugh at. It's like used clothing, and you find like a metziah, something gorgeous, something cool. He's one of the well-dressed guys in yeshiva. Where'd you get that? You're expecting him to say like some fancy store, and he thrifted, he found it. And there's such a beautiful, I'm definitely a thrifter myself. And where others might, we're fellow thrifters because we like finding where others pass by and say there's nothing here. We like seeing a lot. And the world, the art of Shavuos is to know this whole world is a world for thrifters. Because where others pass by, it's all Maloy Chalaretz Kivaydei. Every station, every place is an opportunity for Kiddush Shamayim. And sometimes the biggest places for Kiddush Shemayim are the places that everybody just... Evan Mayasu Abayim, David HaMelech is the story of Shavuos. The stone that the builders discussed in Haysal Reish Pina becomes the cornerstone. There's a deep connection to Shavuos because the story that Maloy Chalaretz Kivaydei, where others assume it's not, there and there most is Hashem. Hashem, this is an Olam. Olam means hidden. The precious things are in the most hidden spot. David HaMelech is couched. He is thought to be a mamzer all the days of his youth. He was thought to be a mamzer. That's how Hashem designed the world. The holiest things are in hidden places. So I happen to appreciate Ari taught me the concepts of thrifting. We're definitely fellow thrifters. Of finding special things in all different nooks and crannies. My wife's father is a very, very good photographer. And he did a photography shoot where places people considered like junky and broken, and he took beautiful pictures in like very interesting places. We have the book in my house. It's called like, I've got the even name of the book, but he shows where others just pass by and see junk and he sees art. He took some beautiful pictures in funny places, abandoned buildings, some overgrown field. A thrifter to see Hashem is, he's all over, and opportunities for Kiddush Shemayim are everywhere. So I wanted to thank Ari specifically. From the minute I met him, he taught me that. He's taught me a lot since, but I did want to repeat that, the lesson of thrifting. So thrift on, Ari. I have this thing at the Esrig place. When you always buy Esrigim, I want to spend a lot for an Esrig. I can tell you, I want to spend a lot. The Arizal was hiflig ma'od bezeh, that even if you can get a free Esrig, don't take it and buy it. I have been offered this one, I'll get you a good Esrig. I want to buy my own Esrig. That being said, I have this hobby and I do, my kids show me Esrogim. I love finding in the cheaper section some Esrogim. I buy from the expensive section. Baruch Hashem, I can send you to my, and there's a reason to spend. This has nothing to do with being cheap. I happen to get a kick out of finding in a section many people looked and assumed, and you find one, it's like, whoa, it's gorgeous. I like that a lot because I like the art of thrifting. When many pass by, there's eternity there. Thrifting is true, Ari. So thrift on all the days of your life with many areas and situations, things that people see as there's Rus is there, Mashiach's there. From the plains of Mayav, there is Mashiach. Thrift on. Good. Shlaima, you ever heard of thrifting, Shlaima?
You ever heard of thrifting?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't there something so deep?
Awesome.
Who else is a thrifter?
Mayor.
These guys, you're all thrifters, us four? Well, me, Mayor, Avram, and Ari. Johnny's a thrifter. Any Chassidish is a thrifter.
Hold on,
yeah, of course. The Baal Shem was the big, he started thrifting. Is that true? Why? He's Shavuos also. Wow. Amazing, amazing. Shalom. Who was just... Rafi, let's go. Aid, aid, another aid.
Is that the title?
No.
I want to talk about a person that everyone knows. He's very kind and generous wherever he goes. Nothing bothers him, it's almost insane. Not a single thing he does is either in vain. He has no fear, willing to do anything for a peer. His intentions are clear, plus he's always in gear. The care and concern is really outstanding. If life were football, he would be Peyton Manning. This person will be in the Hall of Fame. Just watch closely how he plays his game. Every day his devotion, plus the amount of grinding and true emotion. It's truly inspiring what he sets in motion. This person is from royalty, which makes sense. After all, he is of quality. He also shares a name with a Navi. When this person starts dating, he will get the very best girl. I think you know who I'm talking about. It's Eliyahu Perl. Oh!
It means so much that Rafi is back, that Rafi Pines is back here steiging. Mm-hmm. To me, this is not school. School is a secular building. There's something called school secular building where subjects are taught. No 21-year-old steiging goes back to school. It's school, I don't know. That's a building. It's not. There's no magneticism to some school. A yeshiva is a place where people grow, where people are improving, where people are challenging themselves, where people are being a Talmud, where there's growth and movement. Of course, it's magnetic and it draws people that grow and move. It means so much to me. I don't want to ever be accused of being a school. I never, don't ever. It's like, don't beat us up. We're not trying to be a school. We're trying to be a place of growth, a place of Avodas Hashem, a place of steiging. You could find school in Waterbury. We do have classes. We have some of the stuff that school that exists in a school. We're not trying to be a school. We're trying to be a place of Aliyah and Ruchnius, of people advancing and growing and moving somewhere. That a Rafi Pine steiging has a want to come back here. And he's drawn to us, and we're drawn to him. Because he's a growing person, and somebody who's craving, who has chukas, who has desires for things. I want to say a kasha, Rabbi Yisai. I want to say a kasha. This, we're going to get back to odes in a minute. I want to ask you a kasha. Why don't we say, this kasha is asked by Rav Levi Yitzchak Barditchev, the Barditcheva. And the Rishonim, the Baal Amar, and the Ran asked the Kasha, but I want to tell you Reb Levi Yitzchak of Barditchev's answer. I want you to hear this. Shuli, I want you to hear this. Asked Reb Levi Yitzchak of Barditchev, amongst the Rishonim asked the Kasha, he's an Achrein, but the Rishonim asked, why don't we say Shecheyanu on the mitzvah? I never heard, this answer is not an answer, it's like the answer. Why don't we say Shecheyanu on Sfiras Omer? When do we say Shecheyanu on a mitzvah, my friends? A mitzvah that's ba mizman lizman, it doesn't come so often. Mitzvahs that are constant, we don't say Shecheyanu on tefillin because we're used to it. On a mitzvah that's exciting, we haven't done it in a while, we're like, woo! And we make a Shecheyanu. Sfiras Omer is once a year. Why is there no Shecheyanu on Sfiras Omer? That should be Shechayanu v'kimanu. Any mitzvah once a year should have a Shechayanu. And the Rishonim ask, why is there no Shechayanu on Sfiras HaOmer? Does anybody want to venture? Rav Levi Yitzchak Bar Ditchav nailed it. What the answer? Why would he nailed it? Why don't we say, somebody say an answer that you like feel. This answer, when you're mechavin, you should like jump out of your seats. I know the answer. This, you shouldn't even be quiet. Normally I say like feel the question. This answer is not an answer, it's like the answer. Somebody speak from your heart. Rebezi, what should we offer a guy who gets it right? Speak from your heart. I'll give you a prize. That's a good song. Salad. But he said it's a time of growth, and growth is the whole year. But there is a mitzvah d'oraisa of counting the Omer. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa of counting, and it's once a year. By all rules, it should have a Shechayanu. Shechayanu v'kimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. Thank you, Hashem. A moment of arrival. This mitzvah came. This mitzvah is here, Shechayanu. Svira Soimer, I'm so happy this mitzvah arrived. It's funny, the Chinuch says that's why we count Svira the second night of Pesach, not to take away. So we'll do Shechayanu the second one.
It's a new mitzvah every day.
Yankov asked intelligently, when would you make the Shechayanu? Do it the first day. We got the mitzvah. Intelligent.
It doesn't come off in a, it's 49 days out. Like.
So Yankov says it repeats itself a lot. But the first time, Shechayanu v'kimanu, I've been waiting the ganze year for this mitzvah. Rav Levi Yitzchak of the Bar Ditchever said that the whole sphere is a longing for Torah. It's longing, the whole sphere, you're counting. Shechayanu's arrival, the mitzvah is tshuka. The mitzvah is gaguim for what will be. You can't say Shechayanu. Every mitzvah, you shake the lulav, you make a Shechayanu. The mitzvah came, yippee, the mitzvah's here. This is the mitzvah that the very mitzvah is to crave the future, says of Levi Yitzchak Shui. So you can't say, ah, Hashem, we made it. Made it. The whole mitzvah is looking forward. Tshuka and aspiration and dreams. Dreams for is the mitzvah. Your tshuka for, your desire for is the mitzvah. Yosef Dov, you can't say Shechayanu on a mitzvah. On a mitzvah that's here, Naftali, and in your hands, and you do Shechayanu v'kiman v'yonu l'zman hazeh. On a mitzvah that I don't, that's all about tshuka, there's a tshuka for something. That tshuka is very important. The deep craving for Torah. The deep inside of us that longs, that longing is the mitzvah. You can't say Shechayanu on something that's anticipating. That's what Levi Yitzchak Bar Ditchav said. That place of longing that we're tapping into on Sfira Seimer. The place where we find... I asked the Bacher yesterday in Yeshiva. I asked him, do you want to be... I described, do you want to be something? He said, no, not now, only when I'm 20. I said, today, if you want to be that when you're 20, means you have a longing today. I'm not talking about when you plan to actualize your longing. I want to know, is the longing in you? Are you, I know the longing's in him. I want him to hear the voice of his longing. If when you're 20, you plan, means you're longing today. Just want you to know about that. He was like, when he's 20, I plan. So then you're living with something that you're just not... On Sfira Seimer, we tap into a tshuka, a sense of longing for something. We want Torah. We want Kesher to Hashem. We want meaning and eternity from the different places of our life. Who is Shalom? Is your... Tell him to come in. Is there another ode? Is there another ode before... You have one?
I don't have one, but I prepared something for someone else for a while back.
Let's go.
Anyways, I prepared this for a friend when he was I wanted to introduce him for a Pirkei Avos. I think that we had enough time. but I really wanted to give him some kavod. So Arya Cohen, shout out. So what I wanted to say is that what's called, I think when you first see Arya, there's something very, like, in the most external way, you see him, you just see good, you see someone who's sweet, there's a certain chin that he has, that without even knowing him, you see him, his movements, his walk, his face, his smile, he's a certain, like, goodness and chin. I think one of the biggest things about Arya Cohen is that he's a super positive person. He's a person who doesn't complain. He has like this, like, and his positivity is not like, it's not like in kind of like in, it's very like, it's so like who he is. Like, yeah, okay, it's gonna work out. Like, it's gonna work out. Like, yeah, it's fine. And so I think that's a great reason why I love schmoozing with Arya, because he's a person, when you come out of a conversation with him, you're like, whether something you're dealing with or whatever, something's bothering you, me specifically, I kind of like feed off that nature. I always feel like, yes, it's gonna work out, because that's the type of person you're dealing with. He's someone who's an incredible listener. He definitely has a lot of patience, and like when you schmooze them, he doesn't ever make you feel like he wants to put his input in, or he wants to leave a conversation. He sits there and he's like, "Hey, just go," and you don't like, and you even feel like he's trying to like sit there and listen. And he's a person who gives you, he gives him his whole self when you're schmoozing with him. He's a person I think makes me feel very comfortable. I feel very much around myself with around him. I have a lot of weird quirks, and like I never feel like, I always feel like accepted with him. And you know, also when it comes to learning, you know, like there's a lot of times I learn with him, and I know something is like so easy. Like I know it's like such an easy thing, and like he knows it's easy. I know it's easy, and I'm like, I'm not sure what it is, and like he'll never make it feel weird that I don't know what it is, or like a little smart. Like I know that if I ask him a question, I know it's easy. It's not like he's a person that I can feel very comfortable. He's supportive, but he also has like this wild side to him. He's very fun and he's very funny. I think the better I get to know him, I always like, I know he does sound effects sometimes. I don't know if it's like, we're outside and he started making, he's like, yeah, this is me. Like, I do sound effects. But something about my Mashkiach, my Rabbi Neretz Yisrael said, he said, a father, someone has to be see-through. A father has to be see-through. You're rocking the house, you have to be see-through, which means your kids have to look through you, and there's no like skeletons in the closet. They just see this is who dad is. And I think that reminds me a lot of Arya. You see him, and he's like honest. Like, and I'm not saying in the meat of him talking honestly, but him as a person, he is honest. You see, it's just true. What you see externally, but the first thing you see him, when you see a good guy, you see someone sweet, has chen. That's the person who he is through and through, inside and out. And when he told me he was coming to yeshiva, I was like, he's that guy, like that classic, like older guy, like he's always like, I wasn't sure. And I think the better I know him, I realize, really that what's called that why he's so good for yeshiva. And I think it was cool to see him really grow in yeshiva. I think I've seen him grow a lot tremendously this year. And I think it's very clear why yeshiva needs him so much. Anyways, shout out.
A quick trivia question, and I think I'm right. The guys will correct me. In the biggest playoff win in the Wolfpack's history, this young man hit, I think, six threes. In the biggest playoff victory the Wolfpack ever had, this young man knocked down six threes. The whole yeshiva was there. It was a raucous gym. It was crazy. It was the biggest playoff victory the high school ever had. And this young man at six threes, the guy is Delk? Shlomo Deitch. True story? Was it six threes? TABC, right?
Yeah, like I had like six
three
shots, five
three. What was the score say over? Shh. This is in full humility because I asked him. He's a nice person. Shlomo is humble. He's somebody who's crazy talented and everything good at, but always humble, ever humble. He respects other people, has nothing. One of the Kinyanei HaTorah was studying Kinyanei HaTorah. It's like, Machsik Tevusai La'atzmai. There are people, I'll read the Kinyan HaTorah, once we're talking about Shlomo, he's a kiyum of this. One of the 48 Kinyanei HaTorah is Einai Machzik Toiva La'atzmai. Now, there's very tricky words. I'm very curious how Art Scroll translates this. People translate that you don't ain machzik toiva la'atzmai, you don't give yourself credit. You know, like, you don't feel like... Now, there's two aspects, and I think they're very connected. Listen to this. Oh, I should have had the guys look at these words. Let's look... How does Art Scroll... We have to get an Art Scroll translation. Hey, you have the Art Scroll? Does it have the Perek Vavanavis? That's a Shabbos one?
Yeah.
Pat, can you bring it forward? I'm very curious how they translate this. Daniel, is that typically how you heard the translation? Let's see how Art Scroll translates. You'll want to hear this, Hever. Let's just get... I'm so curious how they translate that, Rabbi. Booty, how do you think they translate? Einai machzik tivusa la'atzmai. Let's see. Oh, here. Johnny, they translate it. Not claiming credit for oneself. Don't claim credit for oneself. I want to say there's one of the 48 Kinyanei Kashui and Yosef Dovi came to learn today Kinyanei HaTorah. The Ozar Kedai, you didn't lose to hear that. But what does it mean? One of the 48 Kinyanei HaTorah is Einai Machzik Toiva La'atzmai, not claiming credit for oneself. So I want to say two aspects. One aspect of that is that people feel arrogant for their successes and abilities. And one thing is not to be arrogant. Have all the talents, but you're not arrogant about it. You're not machzik tayvusa la'atayvel atzmai. Not claiming credit for oneself. Understanding God gifted me. Everybody sees Simcha Schwartz in Yeshiva. Clearly he's gifted physically, all different ways. So why is he arrogant? Why isn't he a balgaiva? Why isn't he a balgaiva? The answer is it's from Hashem. From Hashem. My Oma, when you thanked her, she said, Erbishter Hashem. So Einai Machzik Toiva La'atzmai, not claiming credit for oneself. You see Shlomo, the guy's a beast. He's good at everything. He doesn't, but there's something else. I want to say a different pshat, Yosef Dovi. I want to say, and listen to the words, I don't believe there's a chassidish pshat. I don't care if it is or isn't, but I actually think that each one causes the other, Johnny. Einai Machzik Toiva La'atzmai means you don't hold on to your good things for yourself. You share it. Guys in yeshiva, Meir Richter has a beautiful voice. He sings for us. He sings for the chevra. Einai machzik toiva la'atzmai. Your guy is strong and good looking. He uses it to give chizik to another guy. It makes me nuts when a guy in yeshiva is popular and some guy in the basement of the Waterbury is not made to feel good. That's a big avera. Don't hold your good things for yourself. Shlomo Deitch's talents are used that the next guy gives chizuk and he's nice to everybody. Einai machzik toiva la'atzmai. Don't hold on to your talents for yourself. Use them for the public. They belong to other people. And I think it's one and the same. Shui, I think it's one and the same. Einai machzik toiva la'atzmai said is you don't give yourself credit. My good things come from God. So you know what's natural? If you're arrogant, it belongs to you. So you rob it for yourself. The midah v'enei machzik toiv la'atzmai that you know is given by Hashem. Tein loy mishaloy, give him what's his. He put it by me to share. He gave it to me to share. I look at it. Somebody once handed me $24,000 to give out to poor people. I didn't feel like, whoa! What a guy, I'm giving it out. He gave it to me to give out. Any skills we have, strength, God gave you charisma so the next guy should feel comfortable. God gave muscles so you're strong, so people look up to you. He gave it to you to share.
That's why it was put by you. That's Einay Machzik Toiv Al Atzmai. You don't hold on to goodness and rob it for yourself. So I want to say on Shleima Deutsch, this talented, beautiful person, he takes his musical skills, lifts other people up, his coolness, his strength, and he's just nice to everybody. Einay Machzik Toiv Al Atzmai. I think one causes the other. If you know from where it came, it was gifted by Hashem. You're not arrogant. The natural flow from that is you share the gifts you have. Instead of becoming snobby in a sense of keep away, I'm part of an extreme exclusive club. No, I've been gifted. I'm humbled by my talents. A person could be humbled by the gifts Hashem gave him. Whoa, you trusted me with a lot to share. You're actually humbled by your gifts. That's one of the 48 Kinyanei Atayra. Einay Machzik Toiv Al Atzmai. You're born cool and appreciated. And chein, you use it to give somebody else standing. Hashem gave you a gift. Made you feel good. Share it with the next person. Einay Machzik Toiv Al Atzmai. Don't hold it for yourself. Share your goodness. Spread your goodness. Thank you, Shleima Deutsch.
We want a song.
You guys are a shtickle mean. I always credit the crowd. Here you give a speech that he doesn't withhold this stuff from anybody, and we want a song. Now, what's he supposed to say? If I was Shleima Deutsch, I'd give like a resounding, no, it's mine. Huh? Do you have a guitar here, Shleima? Do you have a guitar here?
Yeah. Thank you, Mom and Dad.
To be, what a day. There's an excitement here. I think Shavuos is coming.
Should I come watch you? Such a sick touch on the couch.
Love your socks.
Multicolored. Yeah.
Do you want to help me?
Let me help you.
Yeah?
I want to help you.
Okay. Just it's a new song.
Oh, yeah, it's going.
There's a new song, Kevra. Let's go. I'll move it. I'll move it.
Promise you that I've been sober, but I can't seem to remember a thing. My soul's still living in the summer. How the world don't we make it to spring? 'Cause life is getting so serious. Oh, that feeling that I need more time. Creeping up on me at every moment, and but I ain't that young to life. Oh, I'm done. I swear I'm done with being late. Oh, I need to feel alive. My dilemma being present in this 21st. Time and all the clocks are moving on one second. Oh, I'm in the past. I wake up and the future's gone. It's hard being present in this 21st century life. It's hard being present in this 21st century life. I won't let my life pass by my eyes. Dreaming about moving mountains and changing the world in a way that only I can. But I know that won't ever happen if I'm glued to my phone, gonna sleep at 3 a.m. So you cannot say all that I claimed, all that I'm perfect, no need to change. Don't live in this way. Oh, I'm done, I swear I'm done.
prison in this 21st century life. Won't let my life pass by my eyes. Life. It's hard being present in this 21st century life. I won't let my life pass by my eyes.
Zach, let's go.
We're all from. I want you to sit up front. Okay, first of all, shout out to my mom for being on the phone to listen to this.
Zach Raquel's mom.
Okay, so right now I'm talking to Avram, but anyone who wants to listen, go for it. Me and Avram first met each other in Muganov. We were coming out of fourth grade. We were in the same bunk for a few years. We used to play line. I knocked him over before to the ground. I think he's knocking over too. And then as we got older, when Muganov closed down, we were in different schools. Then we both made our journey to Waterbury and we met again. We were in the house last year, Arnold Smilowitz, storm counselor.
If you're happy and you know it, Smilowitz. If you're happy and you know it, and you really want to show it, if you're happy and you know it, smile away.
Back in the house, me and Avram used to smoke weed, barbecue, and have DMCs. Right now, we both went clean together. Avram's three months, I don't know, I'm like 1.5. And Avram's a friend who I trust. A friend I'm comfortable crying to, talking about anything, talking about the traumas I went through, and I feel like he's just like a genuine person who like has a sweet heart. You can see it on his face, his smile. You definitely like, you're a big part of my journey in life. What else? And I'm very happy I was fortunate to be your friend for many years. And happy birthday. Looking forward to celebrating your birthday tonight.
I came home one night specifically after meeting with Zach. I'm zeichet to schmooze with guys, and I came home like in a particularly good mood. And the good mood, I felt like I chazered everything that's wonderful about this Makom Torah. His honesty, the sincere authenticity, embracing his own story. There's a line, and we're going to study one of the Kinyanei HaTorah, and Zach is a kiyum of this. One of the 48 Kinyanei HaTorah is Oyev Es HaMesharim, to love glat. Mesharim means straight. To love yashar, honesty. We speak a lot in yeshiva about emotions, and people think we're talking about this funny topic. What do these people about emotions? Is this therapy? Isn't it a yeshiva? We're really talking just about honesty.
When somebody doesn't acknowledge your insecurity, they're being a liar. When people build walls and all different personas, that's all just a lie. Hashem chaysama shekosh baruch emes. The signature of Hashem is honesty. One of the 48 kinyanei Torah, one of the only way, this is the only way, you can't get around the shortcut, is ayev esameisharim. You like that which is yasher, that which is straight. And when I met with Zach Perkel, I went home like excited. I love being part of world. It's changed my life. I'm a Waterbury boy. I'm probably moving up to 11th grade. I'm getting the Yeshua. I started to feel more and get in touch with things. And what I say about Zach Perkel and what's beautiful, and he makes this place so special, he's an honest guy. He's like, when you speak to him, he's giving his story, is his story. He's in touch with it. With sincerity, we're seeing tremendous growth. He describes being clean. To us, that's just a code word. People hear it on this. We're not talking about what a guy, being clean by us means, ayav esmei sharim. I'm embracing my story. He describes for how long he's being clean. There's no, I'm still working on getting clean. I'm getting there. Being clean is another way of saying living your story. It just means living your story, being honest to your story. We all have flight. One guy could avoid being clean with alcohol and other things. Another guy could do it in, with a workaholic. There are a lot of ways not to live your life. Ayev esamei sharim is to love straight. That which is honest, that which is real, that which is straight. Zach Perkel is Ayyub Esamei Sharim, Yemit Hashem Bayasol.
Let's go. Hate and love are both completely opposite side. Each emotion so extreme, not something one can hide. Through the rest of the year, I thought I would cruise. Getting to know you is not something I would muse. Then one day, you pulled those guts. I don't know how, but I'm forever grateful. For in that time, I removed a lot of layers of me being hateful. Taking me out and speaking to me was probably the best thing you could have done for me. It changed a lot in me, and now I really love and look up to and respect. And respect is not something that comes free. I'm not sure how to best describe the respect and gratitude I now have, but the words are few. To the most hardworking, dedicated dorm counselor and friend I can claim. Spending all your time and effort is your ticket to fame. I'd like to thank you, Shmuel, for all that you've done and for showing me it's possible to go from one side to the other instead of to just run.
I wanna thank both. I wanna say about Shalom that his energy, his delightful, delicious energy, makes this room is magical. We're sitting here very, very late in the year, and this is a magical room with tremendous growth. Somebody who's infused the whole year this room with just such good flavor and good energy. We appreciate Shalom tremendously. I want to say that how many youngsters have energy and how many teachers have like been frustrated with the youngster's energy. His energy is not just not a problem, it's been our solution. It's been a solution here. It's not a problem, it's a solution. Energy, chiyus, cheshek, the world needs energy. I was talking to somebody in my shul, we're bringing in a rav to be there. I'm someplace else a lot of weeks. And I want the word I use, I want somebody chiyus, somebody who can infuse energy, who could bring fire, passion. And I want to say that Shalom's beautiful energy, we've seen him direct it in a tremendous way. He's somebody who younger was looking for places where to put his energy. I'm thankfully chose our Beis Medrash. The energy is firmly rooted in place here. So. I want to thank Shalom brilliantly said an ode and courageously said an ode for Shmuel Weiss. Shmuel's dedication this whole year to the yeshiva is mind-blowing. How much he's somebody who works hard to make a parnasa,
the amount of full-time, he's doing three full-time jobs, it's mind-blowing, because Mitzad Echad Shmuel he works. He has a serious job that he holds. Mitzad Sheni is a dorm counselor, which is a full-time job, and doing for others and thinking about others, it's a full-time job. Mitzad Shlishi has Chavrusas, his own steiging, that somebody could add so much in his day and make room for so much is remarkable. So thank you, Shmuel, for all that you mean here and all that you do. Yeah. I thought there was one more. Was there one more ode? Was there one more ode? I thought somebody had asked. I thought before one more person won. Okay, so that's the last of the odes today. We do have one more morning. Tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow night is Shavuos. We do have another morning tomorrow morning. If a couple of more guys want to share odes, I think it's very fitting. At a time that Klal Yisrael is being ma'agid, that we're coming together with unity. I want to share a vert. One last thought for today's muster that's kind of interesting. There's a diuk that is made by the Arizal himself. And the following diuk, in Sefer Bamidbar, the Arizal makes the following diuk. In Sefer Bamidbar, it counts out the count of Klal Yisrael Shua. And in the count of Klal Yisrael, it says, Livnei Shimon to the Shevet of Shimon, and it says their number. Livnei Gad to the Shevet Gad, and it says their number. Livnei Yehuda, it says their number. Livnei Yisachar, Livnei Zvulun, Livnei Yosef. Each one, it says, Livnei, towards that Shevet, Johnny. Livnei Menashe, Livnei Vinyamin, Livnei Dan, Livnei Asher. Finally, you get to the last one. It drops the Lamed. When it says the count of Klal Yisrael, it says, to the Shevet of Shimon, this is how many. To the Shevet of God, to the Shevet of Yudah, to the Shevet of Zvulun. The last one, it drops the Le, and it says, B'nei Naphtali, the sons of Naphtali. It has no more of a Lamed, Livnei Naphtali. And Arizal asks, it's incredible, every letter in the Torah is precious. It's good to study this before Shavuos. Every letter in the Torah, there's no le. To every other Shevet, it says, Livnei God, Livnei Reuben, Livnei Shem. Towards this Shevet, there's this amount. In the last Shevet Naphtali, which is Naphtali, it says, B'nei Naphtali, it dropped the Lamed. Doesn't say le towards. The Arizal asked this question. Says the Arizal that the way Hashem counted was as follows. This is, he says, remarkably, is how the count works. Says the Arizal, the way Moshe counted Klal Yisrael is he first put in a pinkus, in a paper, in a notebook, every name of all of Klal Yisrael. They went tent to tent. What's your name? Naphtali Ben? Ben Yehuda, Naphtali Ben Yehuda, they wrote name, Yosef Dovi Ben, Menachem, Tzvi, name, Mordechai Ben Meir Yitzchak. They went around to Gans Klal Yisrael and put a notebook, all the names. Then said the Arizal, what they did next is they had a notebook with every member of Klal Yisrael,
but they wanted to now break them up. That was 600,000 names, but that was all the Shvatim. They then took a second notebook, separate notebooks, 11 separate notebooks, and they said, one second, the 600,000 names are all of Klal Yisrael. Said, but they're not all in the same Shevet. Then Shlomo they took, and they divided it up. These names are L'mishpacha Shemayin. These, and they started going through the list slowly and started pulling out. That's the Lamed lit towards this. They took out, says the Arizal, Livnei Shemayin. Oh, these, they went through the whole Pinkus and took out towards, put it here. Put it to good. Put it now. When they got to Naphtali, everybody left. They didn't have to. That's 600,000. Now they put all by 11. 600,000, they did a minus, and the rest is good. They didn't have to, like, do a count anymore. They now know how many are by good, by Naphtali. So that's why it doesn't say lit towards B'nai Naphtali. And what remains is the sons of Naphtali, our X number. Now, why Naphtali is that one that remains? Naphtali's midas sameach b'chelkai. They're deep spiritual things. But I don't want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is why was the count so bizarre? What's pshat? Such a weird way of doing a count. First, you count. This is the most, you talk supreme inefficiency. You do a count and you fill this notebook. Then you have to do a lot more work and say, uh-oh, now we just have a big mushkababble of Gans Kleisel. So now they go through this whole $600,000 pinkus and they take out all the Shimon, Livnei Shimon, that goes to Shimon. And they count out Shimon amidst. Then they tip. Why was this count done like this? This is like literally like a very bizarre, if you wanted, like in Chelm, they probably count like this. We were very smart. Explains the Arizal, the reason you count this way is the power of each individual shave, it only comes after there's the entirety of the whole Klal Yisrael. We all have individual kaiches, but it stems from the fact that we belong to a beautiful nation, unity. You start the count, everybody's in one notebook. From there, it's true, different people have different kaiches, but we belong to something precious and something powerful. From that place, there's individuals, but we belong, and the count demonstrates and was done in a way, says the Arizal, that we belong to a people. Of course there's individuals, of course there's unique kaiches, but kaidem kol, we belong to a people. From that place of a Klal Yisrael, of Am Yisrael, of course they're individuals, of course everybody has their own shaven, their own style. And I want to say that we're holding literally a day before Shavuos, tomorrow night is Shavuos. I want to say that this aspect that we're Zaycha, that we belong to a precious people, a glorious and wonderful people. We each have our own unique stations within that nation, our own places of Kiddush Shemayim. We belong to a precious people. And the Zman of Shavuos is we're Ma'aged. We bond and unite with that precious. Hashem handed that precious nation, a Torah, the nation that we proudly belong to, that we proudly take part in and feel connected to. That unity, that oneness is something that we feel that we want to work towards in the period coming till Zman Matan Torah Seinu. This Ke'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, one people. One people, one mission, one closeness to Hashem, and we belong to that nation. The first count of our people was in one notebook. It's true, we each have unique places and standings, but there's a togetherness and a bond that runs deeper. I think it's important. There's so many different versions of certain. There's all different within Klal Yisrael, many Shvatim and many Messiahs. It's important to know that we all come from the same book. The first book had to have us together. Deeper yet, deeper. It's true. He's Svar, Rash, it's Geshmak. We have different Shvatim, Geshmak, Lubavitch, Satmar, Geshmak, all the cute things. Geshmak, Chavetz Chaim, Brisk, Panovich, Mir, Waterbury, Geshmak, cute. First thing, we're all in the same book. We only entered on a secondary count. We got into different books. In the first count,
in the deepest possible place, the Arizal saying we all are in one book. Nachdem, you put into this different shvatim, but deeper yet, deeper from the deepest place, we come from the same place. I wanted to share that Arizal with the Chevra. Yashar Koyach, Rabbis.
Thank you.